We have our friends in the studio from CASH. It's an acronym that stands for the Catawba Area Coalition for the Homeless. They just recently wrapped up their point in time count. And here to tell us more is the executive director for CASH, Melissa Carlisle. And good morning to you, friend.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, listen to that bubbly personality.
She says she's not a morning person.
Yeah. I am not.
She told us she does not do early mornings, but for us, she will. So we appreciate it, Melissa. But you sound like a Disney character. This is great.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Like I said, fake it until you make it.
That's the motto we have lived by for more than two decades in this industry. Oh, my goodness. Well, you've got a bubbly personality because you are dealing with some tough stories. You're out there trying to capture as much information as you can about those who do not have a place to call home. And before we get into all the weeds of all the details, let's kind of just set the table. Explain to our audience what CASH is. How did it get started? Why did it get started? Kind of just give us the nuts and bolts.
Yeah, so we were founded in 2006. We became an official 501c3 in 2016, but really we were formed as, you know, kind of a way to address homelessness within our community. So we serve Chester, Lancaster, and York counties. We're primarily focused on the Rock Hill area at this time. The majority of our funding comes from the city of Rock Hill, who's been a great partner to us. We also just see a larger percentage of people experiencing homelessness in the Rock Hill area, which is a lot of that's just due to population size, really. You kind of see the trends across our three counties, really follow the population trends of that county, the city, and towns. But CASH has made up a lot of people. We have elected officials in our coalition. We have business leaders, certainly a lot of service providers, nonprofits, community members. And really what we're trying to do is two things. We're trying to improve system access and then also just reduce the duration of time individuals and families experience homelessness in our communities. And data plays a really big part of that because if we don't really know what the problem is, we don't know how to address it.
Well, you're going to give us the results of the 2025 point in time count. But before you do that, speaking all about the data, with this information, where do you go from here with it? Like, how do you use this? How do you help agencies and cities and counties with this information?
Yeah, so this data is really helpful when it comes to securing funds and resources to be able to address this problem. So even to qualify for some federal grants, you have to participate in a point in time count. So that's kind of the biggest pull to do it. But we also find locally, it's really great for advocacy purposes. Local foundations certainly love to see this data when shelter organizations are applying for grant funding through, let's say, Springs Close or Comporium. They now have data to say, look, this is a problem. We know it's a problem. We went out and we surveyed hundreds of people who told us they were experiencing homelessness and also told us they were in need of emergency shelter. They're in need of food. And more importantly, they're in need of long-term, stable, and affordable housing. So we're also able to use this data to say, hey, there is a problem. And also we have to start actually addressing the problem because emergency shelter is great. Our soup kitchens are wonderful, but they provide that emergency relief. They don't address the actual root cause of homelessness, which is a lack of housing. So we've also been able to use this data to actually get more funding, more resources to our community for housing purposes. So since I started doing the PIT count, I guess is my third year now, we actually have implemented a new rapid rehousing program in our community just within the last 6-7 months. And we've already transitioned 43 people into housing in that short period of time. So we found that, you know, we're getting programs in place. We're using this data to actually expand our capacity and expand the services we offer to be able to more effectively address this problem.
Well, take us back to January of 2025 when the point in time count was taken. What was the parameters of that week or day? And then why are we just now getting the data from that event?
Yeah, so our organization, we primarily conduct the count in York County, and we support the Chester and Lancaster counts. We are a staff of two, and conducting a PIT count is a lot. I mean, you're trying to get hundreds of volunteers to agree to go out with you late at night, early in the morning. And really what we do is we walk the streets, we go to encampments, we're at the bus stop, we're at the library, we're at the shelter locations, and we work to just come in contact with as many people experiencing homelessness as we possibly can. So this year in York York County, we were able to come in contact with 291 people who were experiencing homelessness or housing instability. The majority of those folks were in the shelter, but we did count a lot of people who were sleeping outside, a ton of people who were sleeping in a hotel or a motel, who were couch surfing at a friend's house. And couch surfing at a friend's house in HUD's world doesn't make you literally homelessness, but we know that those people are also unstably housed, right? Like, that is not permanent housing. Their name isn't on the lease agreement. They could be out on the streets at any moment. So even those folks that are more in the at-risk of homelessness range, we know that it fluctuates, right? They might not be technically homeless today, but tomorrow they will be or could be.
Melissa, guide us through what a conversation looks like. What are some of the questions that you ask? What does the approach look like for the pit count night?
Yeah, so it's actually really clinical. We do, we put a lot of time and effort into training our volunteers because we're working with a really vulnerable population, especially those folks that are going out to encampment sites and things like that. We're talking to people who have significant trauma histories that might be dealing with a severe mental health disorder, a substance use disorder. So we really make sure to train our volunteers of, like, you got to look people in the eyes. You need to be speaking, you know, softly. You need to make sure your hands are visible at all times, because I think a lot of times volunteers think that they're the ones that are going to be afraid, but we actually find our clients are oftentimes the ones that are a little skeptical, a little unsure of us. You know, they don't know why we're out there, right? So we also try to promote it with our clients as best we can, just to prepare them for what's to come. But really, we kind of just open the conversation. We just say, hey, like, we're out here, we're trying to address this housing problem, and your input really helps us out, helps us really better understand the problem and tailor our solutions to fit your needs. And then from there, we have a standardized survey that HUD creates that we just kind of ask the questions. We ask about duration of homelessness, what their particular experience has been like, where they slept last night. That's really kind of the way in which we capture if they meet HUD's definition of literal homelessness or not. We ask about co-occurring issues. Do you have a disabling condition? Things like that, just to get a better understanding of that individual's experience.
Melissa Carlisle is the executive director for CASH. That stands for the Coalition. Sorry, let me
Catawba.
Pull it up. Yes, sorry. Yes, thank you. The Catawba Area Coalition for the Homeless.
It's a mouthful. There's a reason okay. We use the acronym.
Yes, no, thank you for that. It's called CASH. They just wrapped up their point in time count back at the end of January. It takes you several weeks. It looks like more than a month to crunch all these numbers. So we're just now getting our hands on some of this data. I know you gave us one factoid. What else did you learn from the 2025 point in time count here in York County?
So we've actually found that this data is really great at addressing some common misconceptions about homelessness. So we as a community actually decided to add a few additional questions that HUD doesn't require us to ask, but we're like, you know, we're already out here, we have the volunteers, we might as well use this time to ask the things our community really wants to know about. So one of those common misconceptions we hear is that people experiencing homelessness are lazy. Well, we find that over 62% of people we come into contact with are participating in the labor force. They're either actively seeking employment, but unable to get employment because they have to choose between employment and the shelter. Sometimes their job gets out after the shelter is closed. Now they can't access emergency shelter. Also, if people lack transportation, they might not be able to consistently get to their job site. We also talk to people every single year who go for an interview and they're turned away because they look homeless. And it's like, okay, come on. This is just like such a vicious cycle of, like, these are people that are really trying and giving it their all, doing everything they can to survive and put food on their table, have a roof above their heads, and they're just being rejected. So we see a ton of, like, isolation of the clients we serve. But it's not because of lack of trying, right? Again, over 62% of people are participating in the labor force. And a lot of those people are already employed too, working part-time, full-time jobs, just unable to make ends meet. The cost of housing is really high in our community. So if you're making $15 an hour and you have a kid, you're not going to be able to afford to live in our community. And that's really sad. So that's some of the data we capture. We also capture disabling conditions. So over half of the people we surveyed actually had a disabling condition, one or more disabling conditions, whether that be a physical disability that might limit their ability to work, a mental health disorder, a substance use disorder, a cognitive disability that, again, might impair and limit their ability to work. So that's kind of the data we capture. And then we also capture some information about duration of homelessness. So we found that the majority of people have been experiencing homelessness for a year or longer. And that's kind of why we do what we do, because that is unacceptable. We as a community cannot allow people to sleep outside, sleep in their cars, sleep in their shelters for over a year. Our goal as a coalition is really to get that to be 30 days or less. So that's why we're working to expand these housing programs and implement new solutions to really address the root cause of homelessness.
Melissa, we have about a minute left. Tell us about the Cash Coalition fundraiser that starts April the 21st.
Yes, so next Monday, this is an online campaign, so everyone out there, don't feel like you got to purchase a ticket or anything like that. This is really just an opportunity and a push from our coalition to get more information out there about our homeless response system. I think a lot of people in our community really want to help. They don't know how, because they don't know how our homeless response system works. So we're really going to be pushing a lot of stuff out through our website. We're going to be putting stuff on our Instagram and Facebook pages, just so people have a better understanding of, like, okay, if I'm experiencing homelessness, or I know someone who's about to experience homelessness, how do I get them connected to help? And where do they go from there to move from homelessness all the way through our homeless response system to stable housing? And during that week, we're going to be spotlighting a lot of our partner organizations as well. So we are looking for individual and corporate sponsors. You can sponsor us for as little as $25 just by going to our website and clicking the Coalition Fundraiser tab. And your support not only supports our coalition, but it also supports our partner organizations as well.
Melissa Carlisle, that's her name. She's the executive director for CASH, that stands for the Catawba Area Coalition for the Homeless.